We continue the reading from the Gospel of John, the 4th chapter, reading verses 27 to 34 and then skipping down to 39 through 42. Listen to God's Word. Just then, Jesus' disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. And then skipping down. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I've ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Perhaps you've seen the movie The Bucket List. It stars Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman, and they both play men who are dying of cancer. Jack Nicholson is a wealthy person who owns a number of hospitals, and one of the policies is, in order to make money, they can't have private rooms, and so you have to have a roommate, and he ends up in one of his own hospitals, and he has to have a roommate, and it's Morgan Freeman, and both of them, who's Morgan plays just a common worker, and both of them have get the news while they're there that they have terminal cancer, and they start undergoing treatments, and a friendship develops within them of sorts, and they begin to contemplate a bucket list. Now, if you've seen the movie or seen the advertisements, you might know that what a bucket list is. It's a list of the things that you want to get done in life or to experience in life before you kick the bucket. That's why it's called the bucket list. Well, the movie goes on from there, and they try skydiving and a number of adventures, mountain climbing and all of that, and that's the theme of the movie. And if you haven't seen it, I won't tell you any more about it. It's kind of a cute movie and worth seeing. Jesus had a conversation with a woman from Samaria at Jacob's well. And she brought her own kind of bucket list to that conversation. Now, not at all the kind of dreamy, adventurous kind of bucket list that Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson had. In fact, we might say that if we use our imaginations a little bit, that the kind of bucket list that this woman of Samaria would bring to the conversation would be an empty bucket list. Because that was the nature of her life. There was nothing to look forward to, no kind of adventure to look forward to in life. She was a woman, we understand from the conversation that Jesus has with her, who was used by men in her life. She had had a number of men in her life. The person she was with now was not her husband. She was an outcast from the community. She had to come to the well at the hottest time of the day in order to avoid the scorn of other villagers, especially other women of the village. And so the picture we get of just what little we know about her is that her life is one of emptiness. In a book by Roy Clements, who is a British pastor and has pastors of Baptist Church, I believe, in Cambridge in the UK, he's written a book entitled Introducing Jesus. He talks about this woman of Samaria, and he talks about the water pot, the bucket, empty, that she brings to the well every day. Listen to Clement's words. He says this, "Take the wretched water pot she had carried from the village, for instance. There it stood, empty again. She had filled it yesterday. She would fill it again tomorrow. It was like her life, a symbol of never-ending thirst. She would spend the remainder of her days filling that pot, and at the end, its appetite would be as insatiable as ever. I do not know if you have ever had one of those days when you felt so irritated that you wanted to smash a perfectly innocent piece of pottery against the wall. But I suspect that this woman sometimes felt like that about her water pot. Empty. Empty again. That was her water pot. That was her. Clements uses the symbol of the empty water pot as a symbol of her life. That as each time that water had to be gotten out of the circumstances of aloneness and the heat of the day and rejection from the community day in and day out, it was a symbol of the emptiness of her life. Have we felt that way in life? Perhaps we're feeling that way now in this season of our lives. Emptiness. Meaning. What is there in life? What does life have in store? What does tomorrow bring? Is it just like today? Is it empty? Well, in a conversation that this woman had out of this context of her bringing her empty water pot to the well, on this particular day she has an encounter and conversation with Jesus. And it's a mind-blowing conversation, one that it would take place at all. For last week we talked about the animosity between the Jews and the Samaritans, and we know that it was unheard of for a Jewish man, especially, to talk to a Samaritan, let alone a Samaritan woman. The Jews hated the Samaritans, and we talked about the historical context of that, and I won't rehearse that this week, but that kind of information is readily available in commentaries. But men did not talk to women who were unaccompanied. In fact, they didn't talk to women at all out in public. This was an unusual conversation that Jesus had. It takes place at Jacob's well, and Jesus is there waiting for his disciples to come back. They had gone into town, so the biblical record tells us. They had gone to buy food, and Jesus is left alone. The woman shows up, and Jesus asks her for a drink. Shocking to speak with her, and even to ask her about something. And she even expresses surprise. You, a Jew, ask me for a drink. And then Jesus turns the tables a little bit in the conversation. He does it a couple of times in this conversation. He says, if you knew, only knew the gift of God and who it was who was asking you for a drink, you would ask me for what I can give. For I can give you living water that when you taste it, when you drink it, you will never be thirsty again. Well, she's incredulous. You don't even have a bucket. My bucket's empty, but you don't even have a bucket. How can you give me this drink? And if you can, by all means, give it to me. Well, Jesus isn't talking about well water, even the special water that Jacob's well water might have been. But in the scripture, this idea of living water, and actually the imagery of living water means running water as opposed to water that's just standing still and becoming stagnant. Again, stagnant water might also be a symbol for the kind of life this woman was leading. But this is a rich symbol in the scripture. Living water that brings life. We can find it in the Old Testament itself, the Hebrew Scriptures, in the prophet Ezekiel, in the vision that Ezekiel is given of the temple. Ezekiel is taken to the temple, and it says this in chapter 47 of Ezekiel. Then the one God who is bringing Ezekiel into this vision and showing him various visions says, then he brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and there water was flowing from below the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. And it talked about the water becoming ankle deep and then the water getting deeper and deeper until he says, again he measured, and it was a river that he could not cross. For the water had risen, and it was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be crossed. And it says this, he led me back along the bank of the river. And the water flows toward the eastern region and goes down to the Arabah. And when it enters the sea of stagnant waters, the water will become fresh. And wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live. And there will be very many fish once these waters reach it there. The imagery is water of a river flowing into what we might envision as the Dead Sea. And making that sea alive, making it what once was dead and stagnant, flowing with life. It is the imagery that we find in the writings of the gospel writer John and his writing of the last book of the Bible. In fact, the very last chapter of the New Testament shows us this imagery. For it's the image of the New Jerusalem, and it is this John records for us in the 22nd chapter of Revelation. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. A river flowing right from the throne of God and of the Lamb directly through the New Jerusalem. And where it flows, it brings life. There's a hint in there of what this living water symbolizes in the writings of John and of the New Testament from the fact that it flows from the throne of God the Father and the Son. For Jesus tells us in the 7th chapter, I know this is jumping around a little bit, stay with me, we're almost back to the woman at the well. In the 7th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus finds himself in the midst of the Feast of Tabernacles, and there was a ceremonial water pouring that was a part of it. And in the midst of that feast, he stands up and says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me. And let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive. For as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified. The imagery of the living water flowing throughout the scripture, in the New Testament especially, is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit becoming a principle within us that wells up into a source of life overflowing out of us. And when Jesus talks about drinking in the living water that he has to offer, that's what he's talking about. The Holy Spirit coming into us, filling us, overflowing life as a principle of life within us. That's what he is talking about when he talks to the woman at the well about giving her water to drink that would well up into eternal life. Well, tough imagery perhaps, but it's rich imagery, nonetheless in the scripture, and it had a profound effect upon this woman. For we read that the disciples came back and they were shocked that Jesus was talking with this Samaritan woman. But they were too shy or too afraid to ask. Well, in his book, and he says this, John is a master of such apparently incidental detail. The symbol of her emptiness lies abandoned there at his feet. She had found the living water, for she had found Jesus. Things could never be the same again. Clement says, and it can be that way for you. Well, what took place during their conversation? What took place during the conversation was that Jesus made it clear that he knew everything about this woman. In fact, one of the turns in the conversation, you may recall this even from last week, is that he says to the woman after their conversation about this living water, and she wants it, she says, go and get your husband. She says, I don't have a husband. He says, you speak truth. You've had five men in your life, and the one you have now is not your husband. So you're speaking the truth. He knew her. And when she leaves him and goes running back into town, what she says is, come and meet someone, see someone who has told me everything about my life. What's interesting is it says, well, the whole town wanted to know what kind of person this was, but I can imagine there were six men who were probably not heading out to meet Jesus. They were probably running out of town. She was known. Jesus made it clear to her, and again, all of the cultural context involved here, that he's a man and she's a woman, and there's that gender barrier, that he's a Jew and she's a Samaritan, there's this ethnic barrier, that Jesus broke down every barrier to make it clear that she was known, but yet still accepted and loved. And that was part of receiving the living water of the Spirit in her life, that it would well up within her as a principle of new life. It set her free. She went into the town and became an evangelist, telling others about what she had experienced. In Jesus Christ, we are known. Everything good, everything not good. And yet, even out of that knowledge, Jesus offers us the living water of His presence, the presence of His Spirit within us. Well, what's the condition of your bucket? Symbol of your life. Would you call it empty? Would you call it half empty? Half full? Jesus offers His grace to us of knowledge, full knowledge of us, but yet still wanting relationship. Not just relationship, but to live in us and instill in us this new principle of living water, so that our buckets, so that our lives might not be empty, but might be full. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.